Welcome to Victory Christian Center. You're about to hear from our senior pastor, Pastor Stefan Schlugel, as he brings a message to the church on a Sunday service.
To swing into the Word, we're ready to open the good book. I trust that this message, once again, is going to bless you today. In fact, it's a little bit like, you know, I've been thinking, you know, when somebody, you know, bakes a cake, you know, they put all the ingredients together and then put it in the oven and they're hoping it'll rise. And I put this message together, I put all the ingredients in there, and I've got a hope and a faith that this message will rise, it'll fly, and it'll bless you. All right, that'll feed our spirit, it'll educate our mind, and it's going to give us fresh insight into God's plans and purposes for our lives and indeed for the whole of humanity. The title of today's message is Realities of the New Creation in Christ. And at this point in time, I would also like to welcome our internet audience. God bless you. We are pleased that you're able to join in, whether you're watching our live stream now or whether you're bringing the message later on demand. Trust that this word will bless you today as well. So realities of the new creation in Christ. You know, friends, there are certain realities that we see in the Word of God that are not always immediately evident by looking with our physical eyes. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And when Pastor Vanessa and I were young Christians, you know, we were blessed by the teaching that we received at the time, but we came into an environment where they taught us new creation realities and our lives radically changed. So I trust that we're able to lay hold of some fresh things today as we journey through this message. The subtitle of the message is The Manifested Sons of God. The Manifested Sons of God. And if you haven't had any teaching along these lines and you're a little bit puzzled, be encouraged. You will be puzzled no more by the time we get to the end of the message, so we know what these manifested sons are, who they are. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I want to read 5, 6, 7 verses there, which speaks about those manifested sons, and then we're going to make some comments as we go along from there. So here we go, verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. Paul, apostle speaking, he says, "What we are suffering now is nothing compared to the glory that will be shown in us." Everything God created. Let me start again. Everything God created looks forward to the time when his children will appear in their full and final glory. The created world was bound to fail, but that was not the result of his own choice. It was planned that way by the one who made it. God planned to set the created world free. He didn't want it to rot away completely. Instead, he wanted it to have the same glorious freedom that his children have. But we know that all God created has been groaning. It is in pain as if it were giving birth to a child. The created world continues to groan even now. And that's not all. We have the Holy Spirit as the promise of future blessing. But we also groan inside ourselves as we look forward to the time when God will adopt us as full members of his family. Then he will give us everything that he has for us. He will raise our bodies and give glory to them. That's the hope that we have when we got saved. But hope that can be seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? We hope for what we don't yet have, so we are patient as we wait for it. And so, Father, we thank you again, Lord, that we're standing, we're sitting in your presence as we've opened the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that as this Word goes forth, it's going forth in demonstration of the Spirit and of great power. Thank you, Lord God, that revelation comes to every heart. Thank you, Lord God, that misunderstandings and confusion is cleared up and a thorough understanding of your plan and your purpose is being established in our hearts, that our minds are being renewed. We thank you, Lord, that faith rises to new levels in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. Speaking about the new creation realities, speaking about the manifested sons of God. Before I go any further, I want to make three statements very quickly, and they are in your outline. It says here, we don't yet see everything that we are soon going to see. Number two, we don't yet have everything that we are soon going to have, and we don't yet do everything that we are soon going to do. Friends, there is a future coming. And part of what I'm speaking to you today is partly futuristic in the sense that it is yet to be rolled out at some future point, but it has a present day application. And I'm hoping that I'm able to connect those two things together so that people don't think, oh gosh, what did they talk about in church today? Oh, they talked about the future. No, things have a present day application today. And so with that, I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. And it speaks about the present suffering of believers and the future glory that God will reveal in us and through us. I was really touched by this song again this morning where we sang, in my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. So there is a future day coming where these things will be rolled out. And the Bible speaks here about a present suffering. Now let me just put your mind at ease. This is not speaking about us needing to suffer like sickness or disease or poverty from which we've all been redeemed. But there is a suffering for us as believers, for those who are walking with the Lord, those who are in the Spirit, there is a suffering almost of frustration. There are certain things that we're frustrated about, and there is a groaning on the inside of us. We haven't quite seen what God's going to roll out one day, but we know it's coming. And yet we are believing God for powerful things to happen even in our day. You know, as the psalmist said, one of the minor prophets, he says, Lord, we've heard of the things that you've done. And he said, Lord, do it again in our day. And we're about to see some things that will be rolled out in this life, on this earth, in our country, and around the world, but yet there is a point beyond that where the Bible speaks about some things that you and I should really understand. You know, Pastor Vanessa made reference before that when we got saved, not too distant from one another in terms of time, we came into the end time message sort of fairly quickly after salvation, and it's marked us for life. We have never been the same ever since. Because we can see, you know, there's something about friends when we know where we come from, and it's good for all Christians to be educated in terms of creation rather than evolution, where we are in God's timeline and where we head and what we need to do today to set ourselves up for a better future. So there's a present suffering of believers, and you know, there's suffering of certain things such as persecution, and they're now talking again in America with the new administration that is placed, there's persecution back again that wasn't there before to that same extent. So there's certain things that will be rolled out, and we're looking at all of that, and Paul says that this present suffering, and some of that is sometimes to do with certain places in terms of, in certain geographies, there's more suffering of the body of Christ than in other places. But Paul says that this present suffering that we're experiencing cannot be compared with the future glories that will be seen. And so he speaks about the full glory, the future glory that God will reveal in us and through us. Everybody say, in me and through me. All right? In me and through me. Romans 8:19 again, and this is from the New International Reader's Version. It says, everything God created looks forward to the time when his children will appear in their full and final glory. You know, we are carrying a glory right now, but there is a future glory coming. In God's Word translation, it says, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal who his children are. And it has not been fully realized yet who we really are. That's why we're speaking about new creation realities. They are realities, but they're not fully been revealed, not fully been rolled out just yet. So again, that speaks about a future point in time where God will manifest or fully reveal the manifested sons. It means the revealed sons who are the revealed, the mature sons of God, and there is a future day coming when the manifested sons are then manifested or fully revealed, and it will be amazing. It will be amazing. Sometimes people look at themselves and say, well, I'm not all that amazed just now. No, we are amazing in terms of what God's done on the inside of us. But some of these things, when they come out and when God will reveal us in our full glory, people will be amazed. Now, when we're speaking about the mature sons of God, the manifested sons of God, we sometimes laugh at home when Pastor Vanessa and I speak about these things, and we talk about these things a lot around the dinner table and you know, at different times when we sit down for a cup of tea and we have our couch time. How do you remember couch time when we had our parenting classes? We had couch time. You know, how do you remember? Come on, Pete. Okay, see, so you remember doing couch time together. It's very important, husband and wife, to do couch time together. So we have couch time. We talk about these things, and we remind ourselves that when we were in Bible college, they taught us some Greek words for the word child or children. And for example, there was a Greek word called nepios. Nepios is basically the word for a small child, a baby. And then there is another Greek word, it's called technon. And technon is a general term for children, but there is another term still, and that is the Greek term huios. And huios are the mature sons of God. Nepios, and that's why it reminds us, because nepios reminds us of nappies, you know? Like, how do we know that a small child is still immature? Because they wear nappies and they make a mess and they get somebody else to clean it up. I mean, that's why they are a nepios. Still in nappies, and praise God, you know, when people first get saved, they are a babe in Christ, they are a nepios, but if they get with it, they get mature very quickly, and they no longer make messes that they get others to clean up, but they don't make messes, and if they do make a mess, they clean it up themselves. Yeah. All right, nepios, technon, and then huios. And huios are the mature sons of God, and they are the manifested sons, the sons that will be revealed, that will be rolled out at a future point, yet you can see them today. They're already here today. And that word huios is not so much reference to a gender in terms of a boy or a girl, but it's reference to maturity, spiritual maturity. But people have been coming, they came through the nepios stage, they came through the technon stage, and they've now risen up, and they're now the mature sons of God, mature children of God. And again, in verse 22 of Romans 8, the created world continues to groan even now. And that's not all. We have the Holy Spirit as the promise of future blessing. Underline the word there, future blessing. There's still things coming. We haven't got everything yet. There's still things coming. Yes. Speaks of future blessing. But we also groan inside ourselves as we look forward to the time when God will adopt us as full members of His family. And then He will give us everything that He has for us. Now, we got many things now, but there are more things coming. Awesome. All right. He will raise our bodies and give glories to them. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to my resurrected body. All right? There is a body waiting for you and for me. In the resurrection, when we arrive in heaven, there is a new body waiting for you and for me. So let me just say that when the Bible speaks here about that whole aspect of, future blessing, you know, as believers, we're already free today. In fact, the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free, he shall be free indeed. Yet there's still a containment in this body, in this physical body, that will one day fall away and will be in a new body. So, and it'll be a glorious freedom that is coming when we receive our resurrected body. Born again believers are already members of God's family today, but there is a future completion of that membership in God's family when we receive our resurrected body. You know, the Bible speaks about our adoption into God's family. We have been adopted into the family. The Bible speaks of redemption. We are the redeemed. And redemption is not fully completed until we get to heaven and we receive our glorified body. That's when redemption is fully wrapped up. All right? And the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives today. When somebody gets born again, God puts the Holy Spirit within them. And that Holy Spirit is a surety. The King James Version calls it an earnest, a down payment, so to speak, of God's future blessing. All right? And so, in fact, the Bible says that if any does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, it's all reference to the same Holy Spirit. So when we got born again, God has put the Holy Spirit in our lives, sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is surety, down payment, that one day redemption will be completed, and then we are indeed the full members of God's family. You know, as we study Jewish society, Jewish families, and those Greek words that we just mentioned before of nepios, technon, and huios make more sense. Because nepios literally means non-speaking human. Non-speaking. They haven't learned how to speak yet. And it's the same when a person gets born again, they're a brand new nepios in Christ, but they haven't yet learned how to speak the language of faith. Awesome. That's why we are teaching the language of faith. We teach people how to speak. And we touched on some of that last week, and I always remind you that, you know, Proverbs says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. We learn to speak life. We learn to speak the language of faith. And then, as the children grow up, they're still the children of their parents, but they have access and full rights in the family to the father's inheritance when they become the huios. They haven't got those as a non-speaking human, as a technos, but they become that when they become a huios. And one thing that Pastor Vanessa and I have endeavored to do is we are hopefully maturing in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual growth, that God can trust us with some responsibilities, that we can make a greater impact on the world around us. And before we go to heaven, that we leave a large footprint, not a tiny little one. All right, you know, they talk about environmental footprint and use that term today. I want to leave a big footprint on this earth once I've been and gone, whatever that's going to look like. So God's created world is groaning even now. There's a groaning going on in the earth today, in the whole universe. The universe, I'm not saying it has a knowledge like a person, but the universe, the earth specifically, knows that something is not right. And that something is coming that will put it right. Awesome. So there's a groaning in the earth today. And if one could listen into the realm of the spirit, even though the earth is a physical planet, you could hear the groaning. And the earth is groaning under the sin, under the unrighteousness that goes on. And stuff that is being rolled out right now is so evil that decades ago, people would have even been afraid to speak about it, let alone to promote it and to call themselves promoters of the evil that is being rolled out around us in these last days. Then the Bible speaks about we, the born-again believers, we who have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we also groan. And you know, there is a groaning in intercession when people physically groan as they are standing in the gap for certain situations to change or for lost people to get saved or, you know, so forth. And the thing is, you know, the Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice and we pray, and then we pray, we seek to influence, you know, the choosing of politicians and elections and so forth through our prayers and so forth. And sometimes, you know, we have a measure of success, and then we think, praise God for that. And then, you know, a few years later, another term, and then you got another mess on your hand, and then we are groaning again. Like, oh, you know, like, oh. And I don't know about you, well, you keep in touch with what's going on around the world. And, you know, in America, the church is groaning again. The church is once again speaking about persecution, where, you know, the new rules that are being rolled out is forcing, you know, Christian hospitals to fund abortions again and forcing Christian medical people to perform abortions against their own conscience. And if they don't do it, they'll be persecuted, and they'll be cut off from the society of whatever medical profession they belong to. Stuff's being rolled out. You know, the Bible says when the wicked rule, the people groan. There's a groaning going on right now. There's a physical groaning, yet there's a spiritual groaning going on as we look around and say, God, you know, God, this is not right. God, we need to get a breakthrough here. God. So all of God's creation, that's the world and ourselves as born-again believers, we await the manifestation of the mature sons of God. This final revealing, just to put some understanding to it, this final revealing, that rolling out, that manifestation simply means it's been hidden, but now it is revealed. The manifested sons of God, that final time will happen after the rapture of the church. Bible speaks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, about the catching away of the church, when Jesus will come and we will meet him in the clouds, we'll be raptus, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, take us back to heaven, only to return 7 years later at the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that when he comes, he will come with all his saints. Return back to this earth. And when Christ returns to this earth, he will set up a 1,000-year reign. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. Millennial meaning 1,000. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 20, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, it says there that Christ will be there. He will set up his 1,000-year reign. And it speaks there about the saints that we will rule and reign with him. Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus speaks to the churches and sends letters to them, he tells them, he says, to him who overcomes, speaking about believers, church people, people who are truly born again, not religious folk, but truly born again believers, to him who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give power over the nations. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, there will still be nations. That'll be after the great tribulation. It'll be after the literal second coming, 1,000 years, where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And that's why I say we are speaking future. But what a lot of Christians don't realize, it's what you and I do today, and the faithfulness that we display in God's kingdom in serving now, even with this present suffering, when there's difficulty going on, that will determine our level of involvement during the 1,000-year reign. You know, when Jesus taught the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas, It's basically sums of money where Jesus taught this parable. He says, a wealthy landowner called his servants together and gave them talents, as in sums of money. And then he went on a long journey, and then he came back. And he had a day of accounting with them. And one of them said, Lord, you gave me 10 minas and I've doubled them. I've made another 10. And another one said, Lord, you gave me 5 minas and I've doubled them. He says, you've been faithful in a little. He says, I will make you ruler over much. Have authority over 10 cities. Have authority over 5 cities. And one guy said, Lord, you gave me one talent, 1 mina. And I was afraid. So I hid it. I buried it in the sand. And then here is back what's yours. You know, this is not literal money, my friend. Those parables speak about your gifts and your talents and your time and your treasure that you're employing to serve God in this kingdom that we're already in today. But it's not a visible kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It'll be a literal kingdom during the 1,000-year reign. So don't bury your talent. Don't sit on your talents. Oh, let somebody else do that. You know, I just want to relax. Use what you got. Flow in the grace that God's given you. The Bible speaks of the manifold grace of God. Different graces. There is one grace before God that we've all been saved by grace. One grace, but there's individual graces of functioning in certain capacities and in certain areas and in certain expertise and in certain geographies even. So that's the final revealing when God's sons will be rolled out. The mature, manifested sons of God. I'm looking around. I'm looking at people of all ages, all ethnicities, all colors, all multicultural. There could possibly be prime ministers here of future nations that will exist during the millennial reign of Christ. You know, we've said in some of our foundation courses, we talk about that when somebody has authority over 5 cities, then that could possibly be likened unto like a governor, say in the United States of America, where, you know, the whole country is big, but it's broken up into states, and some states are large and some are small. And if you counted some of the larger cities in the states there, it would be 5 cities. And so somebody, one of God's sons, not male, but one of God's mature children, will be governing over that area, over that region. I told you before that we're not yet doing everything that we're going to do. We haven't got everything yet that we're going to have. We don't yet see everything that we're going to see. We're still groaning. The whole world is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. First John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. That's the technon, general term for children of God. God loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16 tells us that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So once somebody is born again, we are the general children of God. But it is by our choice whether we remain a nepios, or whether we just, you know, remain just a general child of God, or become one of the mature children of God. And a little bit later on, I'm just going to mention a few points as to what that looks like. And that's by no means an exhaustive list, but just to give us some understanding in regards to what we ought to be doing today. I did say that I'm speaking a message that is somewhat futuristic, or quite futuristic in terms of what's going to be rolled out in the future, but it has a present day application. Beloved, verse 2, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. So it's not yet been revealed what we will be like. It hasn't been fully rolled out yet. God's done things on the inside of us. We are new creations on the inside. People say, what's that resurrected body going to look like? It'll be like Jesus' body, a spiritual body that is able to operate in the physical world, yet it's a spiritual body. Paul says that this is what the resurrection is going to look like, he says, in reference to our body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, the body is sown in dishonor, it is raised in honor. It is sown in corruption, it'll be raised to incorruption. He says, this mortality, mortal body will take on immortality, a body that will never die. You know, the Bible says that in our spirit, we are being renewed day by day. And once our body is redeemed and we have our physical, our spiritual resurrected body, it is renewed day by day, never grow old. So it says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus Christ is revealed as the literal king that will come to the earth to set up his 1,000-year reign, he says, we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So what's our job today? Purify ourselves. You know, develop a lifestyle of holiness. Get doubt and unbelief out and purify our faith so that, you know, the Bible speaks about a faith that's purified like silver. You know, they boil silver and they scoop off the dross so that all that remains is pure silver. And that boiling off the silver speaks of persecution and troubles that we go through, that in the middle of it all, doubt and unbelief falls away. And what you have is a pure faith that will stand up in any situation and carry on and not fall over, not fall down, not give up, it just carries on. Everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself. Back to Romans chapter 8 before, but the last verse that we read there, it says we haven't got it yet, but we're waiting for it. But he says we're waiting for it patiently. Actually, the King James Version says we are waiting for it with endurance. God is looking for an endurance in his people. Not here that into just a quick sprint. How many of you know that the Christian race is not a sprint, it's a marathon? We're not here for a 100-yard dash, you know, 18-month serving the Lord and then falling over and going back into the world. That Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about, let us run the race with patience, with endurance that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus had a future in mind when he went through the cross. If he had only looked at the cross that was immediately before him and not the glories that was going to be revealed beyond that, who knows how he would have responded. My friend, you and I, we need to set our sights and develop a long-term vision. I know that many of us are so busy with daily living, and modern living's become quite complicated and complex, and everything you're supposed to know and everything you're supposed to do and everything you're supposed to juggle. You know, you got yourself and you got your family, you got your work, you got your studies, you got your hobbies if you got any, and you got, you know, in fact, I've discovered that if people only did a little less social media, they'd have much more time for other things. You know, oh, that went down like a lead balloon. That didn't fly. That did not fly. So I'm just quietly going to move on and pretend I didn't say it. All right. Praise God. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, I turned 64 just a little while ago, and I'm looking around, and I'm just barely middle-aged now. You know, I'm starting to count down. You know, if Jesus doesn't come back, I'll be here even at 120, and then I might decide to go to heaven. I'm looking around, and you know, I've got half my life behind me now. I'm looking around at young people, and some of these young people, praise God for young people. You know, there's just all of that stuff there. But you know, a lot of them are not that hopeful about the future because there's so much going on. There's so much going on. Yeah, we want you to know, young man, young woman, that God's got you in mind. You're not just a number in the big pool of humanity. You're an individual in the mind of God. And I'm looking around. I see, you know, there's developing young apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. There are educators rising up. There are young politicians, young businessmen that are being launched out as entrepreneurs. And with the gifting, with the calling of God, you will learn that the grace of God, when I spoke before about the manifold grace, there's not just grace to preach or grace to prophesy. There's grace to be in business, grace to be an entrepreneur, to draw down the wisdom of God, to find solution to today's challenges and problems, and to do quite well in the process. You know, becoming wealthy is okay. You know, don't be scared. You know, the Bible says we ought not to desire wealth, but when we become wealthy, don't be embarrassed. If, you know, you're a diligent person, you've worked hard and you're working hard and you're gathering things up, don't be embarrassed. You know, don't let the religious folk condemn you. Interesting, when Mary Magdalene came and put the costly fragrance, that oil, over Jesus' feet, and then kind of wiped it all dry with her own hair. And she was a prostitute, ex-prostitute. And the religious guy stood back and says, oh, that money, that should have been given to the poor, rather than, you know, having this waste. That's religion for you. You know, religion is of the devil. It's a counterfeit for real faith. And Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you, but me you will not always have with you. I know we're being told that poverty is going to be eliminated, but remember this. Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you. And we, as the body of Christ, as the people, we need to remember the poor and help the poor, but there will always be poor people. It's utopia to believe that one day all poverty will be eliminated, even though we're hearing messages along these lines. But, you know, just don't be deceived by that. Jesus says the poor will always be with you. How are we doing? Did the cake rise? Did the balloon fly? He who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. A friend, if your talent's buried, dig it up and use it. Use your gift. Use your talent. Employ it in your life. Work to your fullest capacity. Jesus says, to whom much has been given, from him much will be required. And he also says, if you have been faithful in a little, you will be given much. And he says, if you have been unfaithful, even in a little, Jesus says, even what you have will be taken away. So there's a future day of accounting, a future day of reckoning. Everything is recorded that we do. And in heaven, when we stand before Christ, as what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ, the reward seat of Christ, the Bible says books will be opened and we will be rewarded according to the way that we have served Christ in this life, in the here and now. and the rewards will be. But even though the Bible says that a faithful man will abound with blessings even now, but there is a future blessing. There's blessings now and there's future blessings. I don't want to push everything off into the future. We're very blessed now. All right. But yet, there's future blessings coming. And all I can see is what I see in the Word. And I must say, some of those things I can see so clearly. I can see it so clearly. And I so groan when I see Christians that are trundling along. As this was sort of some holiday park where they get everybody else to run around and serve them, yet they don't do nothing to help towards the functioning of the camp, so to speak. There are the ebbs and the flows of life. One thing that we've learned over the years, that sometimes seasons change, and when somebody has been doing one thing or other, and sometimes they lay this down before they pick up another, and sometimes people pull back a bit because they might have been overcommitted, and you know, we get all of that. But in these last days, friends, it's all hands on deck. Let every man put his hands to the plow and not look back, because the Bible says if we put our hands to the plow, and we look back, as in, oh, the good old days. I wished I could do what I used to do before I got saved. They're not good old days, my friend. Good days are now, and the better days are still ahead. So in the meantime, back when I arrived this morning, first thing, our musicians were already here. And I arrived and drove up into the car park, and there was a seagull standing by our front entrance, right there. You know, it's not uncommon for us to see seagulls. We're close to the sea. You know, anywhere around the world, you're close to the sea, you see seagulls. But that one wanted to come to church. And I saw it standing there. And it's like, and I came up and it just looked at me. It's like, you know, and then gradually moved away. And, you know, I had a sense in my spirit, God is saying, this is what the coming days look like. There'll be lost people. There's a lost seagull. There'll be lost people coming, standing at the door. They're wanting to come to church. They're wanting to find out about Jesus. They want somebody to teach them what a life that has meaning, what that life looks like, and how to get meaning into their life. What a story. Seagull. It's amazing what God can use. God can use a bird to speak to us and to give us an indication. You know, they talked about the Welsh revival, revival in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, revival in the Hebrides off the coast of Scotland. In one revival, people fell over in the street because God poured out His Spirit so strong and so hard that sinners came under such conviction, they were lying in the streets, groaning and writhing and under the burden of sin, and they didn't know how to get saved. So they didn't know what to do. So they went up to the police station in the hope that they will find somebody that can lead them to the Lord. We got future glory days coming on this earth in this time before we even get to heaven and see future glories poured up beyond all of that. You and I need to be ready for it. I've said this before, but in nations where there's revival going on, there's people that have been Christians for 3 months, and then the next minute they plant the church, and now there's a young Christian that's in a pastorate, just pastoring people because people are getting saved at such a fast rate. Just look around. Some of you are leading a small group, and next minute you're leading a congregation of 1,500 people. And what you do today is no waste, because for those of us that are taking this thing seriously, then God can call on us in future days and give us greater responsibility, because we don't moan about the responsibilities now. We thrive in them. So praise God. You know, the Bible says that it is good when a man bears the yoke in his youth. The giving responsibility, the yoke of responsibility to young people so that they get used to it. And as they learn to handle that light yoke, then you can give them a heavier yoke. And you can give them one that's heavier still, because they've learned how to walk under that burden and under that. You know, anybody that has served in any capacity of serving God, you know, whether that's preparing a message or whether that's, you know, preaching the word or whether that's leading worship or whether that's doing some of these things, and when it doesn't quite go off, you want to go home, you just want to curl up and you want to go for a sleep for a long time. Did I tell you that I had a friend of mine spoke to me a while ago, and he said, look, he says, I said some things that I shouldn't have said, and I need to withdraw it. I had no business in saying this. He says, I didn't think anything of it at the time. But I went to bed in the evening and God got on my case. And I told Vanessa the story, and I says, only preachers know what that feels like. You know, a burden that comes on you, or people that are responsible for leading an aspect of a service, people that lead worship and everything, you're preparing, you do what you can. And sometimes it flies and you go home and you think, praise God, you know, hallelujah, Jesus. You know, that really took off today. And then other times like, oh, no. Oh, no, what did I say? Don't bury your gift. Don't be afraid. So, oh, people might, you know, say this if I step out. Don't be afraid. There is no fear for the people of God. So what do the mature sons of God look like that will be manifest, that are already here now and already functioning, but they will be rolled out in the future? Just give me a few more minutes. I want to finish this. A mature son of God knows who he is in Christ Jesus. We don't just know who we are in our role as a friend, as a husband, a wife, or a bachelor, or an employer or an employee. They know who they are in Christ, because it is in Christ that we are a new creation. And that new creation teaching is so important, because we've got hordes of Christians around the world. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know that they're a new creation. They're still saying silly things like, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But the Bible says we were sinners, and Christ died for us so that we become the righteousness of God in Christ. So know who you are in Christ. Number two, a mature son of God knows and walks in the authority that God has given him in Christ. For us as born-again, spirit-filled believers, we have amazing authority. We can speak into situations. We can decree things. The Bible says, the righteous shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto them. But we need to decree it with an understanding, with a faith. Number three, mature son of God carries out, is one who carries responsibilities well and is totally dependable. I mean, totally dependable. They say they're going to be here, they will be here. You can bet your life on it. And if for some reason they're prevented from being here, they will let somebody know, and they will do what they can in order to fill that gap that's created. Because when we're there, we're filling a gap. When we're not there, we are leaving a gap. There's something about carrying responsibilities and carrying them well and being totally dependable. Number four, mature son of God is one who is unshakable in his faith and in his commitment to the Lord. You know, it's interesting that what we've experienced last year through that COVID-19 and ensuing things going on and troubles and lockdowns and different things, you know, some people have been affected more than others, but it so shook people up. What I'm concerned about is it shook a lot of Christians up. And they allowed fear to get into their lives at a rate that is just phenomenal. If I allow fear in, it'll lead me. It'll tell me things. It'll start telling me to be overly cautious. Don't step out. Don't do this. Don't do that. But we're not led by walking by fear, rather. We are walking by faith. We are the faith people. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we be no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. And let me tell you, my friend, I'm one sure of this thing. We haven't been told the full truth. And we haven't heard what through the official channels and everything. We haven't been told the whole truth. There's been lies that have been told us. And their lies are repeated over and over. And they're so clever. They sound like the truth, but they're still not the truth. Hebrews 12:26. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he will make another promise, or he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. And here's what happens. When people in God's kingdom and they know they are, we become unshakable. But the Bible says that there's another shaking coming. And I'm not in any way, you know, the shaking that's gone on last year, I'm not in any way suggesting that God caused that creation of that virus, or that God caused the release of it and everything that's gone on. But, you know, there is a shaking going on. And there's more shaking coming. That's why we're focusing, we're building faith into our lives so that we become unshakable people who are in an unshakable kingdom. Because everything in the world will be shaken so that ultimately only unshakable things will remain. I close with this quick story. When I hooked the trailer on to my car, you know, you bring it out, you put the trailer on the tow bar, you hook on the chain, and you plug in the thing and then everything. And then when I finish, before I drive away, I shake everything just as one last minute check. Because if I haven't put it on properly, it'll come off in the shaking. And before there's mega damage, I will know about it. All right. So why do I shake it? I want to make sure it's properly attached. Why is God shaking the world? Because he wants to communicate to his people if they're all shook up. Their faith is in the wrong system. It's in the world's kingdom rather than in God's kingdom. You and I, we are the unshakable people of God. Come hell or high water, we are not afraid. We're not even feeding off of the world's message that communicates fear and stuff going on. I was just communicating with one of my siblings back in Europe, and they said, oh, you know, have you heard in Switzerland they're now rolling out, in fact, they have a public referendum going on, and Switzerland is known for that. They don't just pass laws, they put it to the people. And they've got a public referendum going on that they're wanting to roll out a passport that is more than just a travel passport. That passport becomes everything. That with one passport, with one password, you can travel, you can do your banking, your everything under one passport. And not even so much a physical passport as we know it when we go to the airport, if we travel overseas, if that'll ever happen again. But they're talking about a passport and I said to them, look, I says, that's nothing new. I says, that's the forerunner of the mark of the beast that will be rolled out after the church is caught away. And the mark of the beast is rolled out, without which people will not be able to buy or sell. And we were just commenting, you know, I'm talking about a sibling of mine that's a Christian, strong believer, has some understanding about end times and future events. And that's one of the reasons why we teach end times. We want to prepare people so that when things are rolled out, they can recognize it when it's happening. They can hear the language when they hear it. And they know what to get involved in and what to stay away from. So Let me finish with this. We're the unshakable people. We're in an unshakable kingdom. We even sing the song that I cannot be shaken because our lives are built on Christ, the rock. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We thank you, God, for preparing us so that our lives are truly built on Christ, the rock. I just pray, God, for my brothers and sisters and folk, Lord, that are watching, listening to this message through audio or video. And I pray, God, let these things become revelation in each and every one of our lives. And Father, we thank you that there's great grace, Lord, that is released into our lives for last day living. Even if things become more challenging and more difficult, we are the unshakable people.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.